Food used to be very uncomplicated. If you're as old as me, we used to eat breakfast, and then if we're hungry again, we'd have some lunch, and if we're hungry again, we'd have some dinner. If we weren't hungry, we wouldn't eat, and if we were too full, we would stop eating. And it was a normal part of life, like having a shower or having a sleep or going to work. You'd also have a meal. Now food's become very complicated. People argue about it. People have social media discussions about all sorts of things, good and bad foods, times of the day that you should and shouldn't eat food, how many times a day you should and shouldn't eat food, whether or not you should eat only vegetables or you should only eat meat. And we have this big argument in the world now about food. And sadly, food has become a big medical challenge. People that don't eat enough food and they have a mental challenge with food end up with something like anorexia or bulimia, where they have a bad relationship with food. The other end of that scale is people who have a bad relationship with food and they end up being morbidly obese. They become very unhealthy because they're overweight, and there's an argument to say that being underweight is very unhealthy. So now we're arguing about whether or not you should be a certain weight or a certain size. There's an argument about how much energy we should have on a day-to-day basis, and of course the nutritionists and dietitians are suggesting that food has everything to do with our energy levels. And the exercise physiologists and the exercise professionals are sharing that it could have a lot more to do with exercise than it does to do with food. And then there's people who suggest that, well, it's really important to eat great food and it's really important to exercise, and we still have a human race that is more than half fat. The Western world is literally now inactive, overweight and sick from either food too much of, too little of, or exercise too much of, too little of, and we have some major challenges. So as an exercise professional, what do you do? Then comes this really interesting thing called macronutrients, and you'll hear it termed, how are your macros? Or have you got your macros sorted? Or do you eat the right percentage of macros? And please don't ask people what that means, because often when people are using that terminology, they don't actually know what it means. Simple terminology, a macronutrient is obviously something that your body can survive on. So there's alcohol, carbohydrate, protein and fat, and your body will survive on any one of those if it has to, which is kind of cool, because your body is this amazing mechanism that regardless of what you do to it, it will try and stay alive. I think we might have noticed that over the few thousand years or millions of years that the human race has been around, depending on what your belief is. So how do we know what macronutrients we should be having and how many we should be having and where we should be getting them from? And that becomes a really tough argument because so many people disagree. And the big one that's come to light in the last probably 5 to 10 years is a thing called protein. Now, as I've been in the fitness profession now for such a long time, these things come and go on a regular basis. And in my time, the big one, of course, was fat was really bad. Fat makes you fat. Don't eat too much fat, reduce your fat grams, and there was a lot of low-fat diets. Well, those have become now very last season, and carbohydrates become the really bad guy. So most, if you listen to social media, if you listen to what the exercise people are saying, if you listen to what the dietitians are saying, there's a big argument about whether or not you should be eating carbohydrate and how much you should be eating and where it should be coming from, and it's killing us. A lot of people are saying that sugar is the reason why we're so fat and why we're so sick and why we've got type 2 diabetes and why we've got coronary heart disease and we should stop eating sugar, which of course is a carbohydrate. And what has become very interesting is this thing called protein, the other macronutrient. And I'll just quickly touch on alcohol. It is a macronutrient. Some people love it, some people hate it. Your body can survive on it. There doesn't seem to be too much argument about alcohol. Some people for religious reasons will say that it's bad for you or they won't drink it, and other people will say for health reasons they do drink it, and other people drink alcohol because it's a purely pleasurable experience. It's this protein one that's become really interesting, and it's been argued about quite loudly because the orthodox science, the normal scientists, the research scientists who study what actually goes on inside the human body, are sharing with us that there's a certain amount of protein that the human body needs, and there's no real argument in the scientific world about that. There's somewhere between 0.8 of a gram per kilogram of body weight up to about 1.5 to 2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight if you are an elite endurance athlete. And we'll chat about that in a little bit more detail. But there's not too much argument about that. Where the argument begins is how many people seem to love to eat large amounts of protein, how many people really believe that their body needs large amounts of protein, how many people believe that energy for exercise comes from protein, how many people believe that you can't have big muscles if you don't eat enough protein. And there's a big argument about, in that group of people, how much protein you need. So as an exercise professional, as a person who eats food, as a person who doesn't want to get too caught up in the fads and fashion of what goes on in the eating and exercise world, how do you know how much protein you need and what's going to work for you? And we could start at either end of the scale. So we'll start at the normal end, or the orthodox science end, which says that yes, around about, and if you even it out, it's about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight. So if you weigh 60 kilos, you need 60 grams of protein every day. And the reason for that is your human body is made up of protein. So your hair, your skin, your nails, your bones, yes, your muscles are all made of protein. Protein is like the building block of your body. They're the bricks. And interestingly, if you put too many bricks into any building, will the building get bigger? And there's an argument to say that yes, if you put more bricks into a building, you'll grow a bigger building. And there's other argument to say that unless you've got the ability to lay those bricks effectively, and the building has a plan or a design that's only going to be a certain size, that you don't need more bricks. And that's where the argument comes in. The other end of the scale is there are people who eat 3, 4, 5, 10 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, and they will share with you very happily that they love to eat that much protein. They don't want to eat carbohydrate. They don't want to eat anything else but protein and or fat, and leave me alone. This is the way I like to eat. And of course, as human beings, we have the right to eat exactly the way that we want to. What's really fascinating are the people who tell us, you can't have, you mustn't have, you shouldn't have, don't have that, it's bad for you. And it doesn't matter which food you pick, there'll be somebody that has a reverse argument for either end. So yes, there are people who say that you definitely don't need more than 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. And there are other people that will say, I eat 10 times more than that and I'm big because of it. The reason I've got such big muscles is because I eat so much protein. I did hear a really interesting argument from a dietitian just recently who shared that the science is very clear that you only need 0.8 to 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. And it seems that the people that are yelling and screaming and sharing and preaching that we should be eating more protein than that are the ones who are aiming to sell us protein supplements, protein powders, protein shakes, protein bars. Because when you tell people that you have to eat 3, 4, 5 times the amount of protein than your body actually needs, you can't get that much protein from your food, which means then it's really easy to sell people protein shakes and protein powders and protein bars. And there's another huge argument about whether or not you need to have a protein bar or a protein shake or a protein powder or any of the, and it's now a $1 trillion business, a very, very big business for people who are selling protein supplementation protein products. The orthodox dietitians and research scientists will then again share that you can get plenty of protein from your food and you really don't need to take a supplementation. But there are people who love protein bars and they love the taste of their protein shake and they would never miss it. So how do we know what's best for us? And there's always these great questions that for me are the fundamentals of your body, my body, anybody's body, and the questions that I always ask. How do you feel on a regular basis? How much energy do you have? Do you wake up with a stack of energy and do you maintain that throughout the day? That's question one. Number two is how do you perform at a top level for whatever it is that you do, whether you're an elite athlete, whether you are a musician, a parent, a doctor, somebody that uses their brain or somebody that uses their body, are you capable of performing at your top level all of the time? So question three then is, do you love what you see in the mirror? There's so many mental challenges and physical health challenges with people that are overweight or underweight. But you personally, when you look in your mirror, do you love what you see? And last but not least, whatever you're eating, whatever exercise program that you're doing, is it working for you? Now, those four questions, the fundamentals, do I have energy? Am I performing at a top level? Do I love what I see in the mirror? And am I getting the results that I want from my eating plan and my exercise plan? And if the answer is yes, then please don't let somebody tell you how much protein you should and shouldn't have, or how many carbohydrates you can't have, mustn't have, don't have, or how much fat is good or bad for you, because whatever you're doing is working for you. And there may be 1,000 experts to disagree with what you're doing, but it's working for you. So if you are taking $300-$400 worth of protein supplementations every week and it's working for you and you love it and you can afford it, then please don't let somebody tell you that you shouldn't do it. The reverse of that, if somebody tells you that you should be taking $300-$500 worth of protein supplementation every week, but you are loving how you feel, you've got a stack of energy, you love the way that you look and you're getting the results that you want from your eating and exercise plan, please don't let some salesperson try and convince you that you should be supplementing with an expensive protein powder. And that's the real challenge, is that most of the protein products, the $1 trillion business now, are very expensive. And the one very interesting perhaps exercise to do is to take a very expensive bucket of protein powder, which you can find in the supermarket, by the way. Now, if you want to invest or waste or spend $100 on a bucket of protein powder, you'll find them in the supermarket. Pick up that bucket and then go to the milk or the powdered milk section in your supermarket and turn the bag over and have a look at the ingredients of both of those products. Now, take away the ones that you don't understand, the ones that are numbers and chemicals, and just have a look at the actual protein. The number of protein grams in that bucket of protein powder and the number of protein grams in a packet of skim milk powder or normal milk powder, and just make a comparison. It's just a really interesting exercise to do, because if the purpose of eating a protein powder shake or bar is to get protein, then have a quick look at how much actual protein is in that powder versus in just normal drink milk or use a supplementation with skim milk powder or milk powder. The other interesting one to have a look at in your protein bar is the people who talk about taking protein often talk about don't have carbohydrate. But when you start comparing a chocolate bar, for example, with a protein bar, you might find that the chocolate bar's got more protein in it, less carbohydrate in it, and costs less money. A lot of the protein bars are very expensive. Yes, they have protein in them, but they often have more carbohydrate than they do protein. So I don't know why they're called a protein bar, because they actually have more carbohydrate in them. And that's the dodgy thing with any kind of supplementation. You've got to be really careful of the people that are trying to rip you off. The beautiful thing about knowing and understanding macronutrients in food is that you'll know how many protein grams there are in a steak, or in a piece of bread, or in a bowl of cereal, or in a piece of cheese, or in some vegetables. And that's the interesting thing, is that yes, you can be vegan, vegetarian, and still be getting enough protein. You just have to work it out for yourself. And yes, the meat is a complete protein, and that's where the interesting argument comes in, because some foods have less than the full range of amino acids, protein, so then they're called an incomplete protein. Interestingly though, if you combine an incomplete protein with another incomplete protein, you probably get a complete protein. And all of that's very technical. If you are loving what you see in the mirror, you've got a stack of energy, you're performing at your top level, and you're getting the results you want from your exercise program. Now, if you're not, if you really don't have enough energy, and if you're really not getting the performance results that you want out of your life, and you really don't like what you see in the mirror, and the results you're getting from your eating and exercise plan aren't working for you, is it possible that you need to take a protein supplementation? Is it possible that there are better places or different places to look to get a result than an expensive protein supplementation? And again, that's something you need to work out for yourself, because there will certainly be thousands, if not millions, of people on social media who'll share with you, I took this protein product and I lost weight, or I took this protein supplementation and I put on huge amounts of muscle size. Just, of course, be very aware when we're talking about advertising. A lot of the really big muscly guys that talk about, I ate this powder and I got really big, there's two things to be aware of. Number one is they're getting paid a lot of money to say that. And we're all aware that sometimes advertising could exaggerate. And the other thing is, regardless of how much protein you eat, if you really believe that protein grows your muscles, you still have to do some kind of training. You can't just eat a big pile of protein powder or protein bars or eat meat all day and hope that your muscles are going to grow. The really interesting thing about the human body is if you put too much of anything into it, it will adjust. It wants to survive. So if you put too much protein into your body doesn't know what to do with it, so it'll pee out as much as it possibly can, but then it will go through the process of turning it into fat. And that's the real challenge if you are eating too much protein, too much fat, too much carbohydrate. Yes, your body will convert it all into fat. The really interesting one there, though, is fat is already fat. So once you put fat into your body, it's 9 calories per gram. Carbohydrate and protein are only 4.5 calories per gram. So just in a simple scientific equation, fat has more calories than carbohydrate and protein. Fat is already fat. Carbohydrate and protein, if you eat too much of it, it has to be turned into fat. And the process, your body will do it. It's quite capable of doing it. But the process is complicated and you lose about 25% of the calories in the conversion. So if you eat 100 calories of protein and it's too much protein, your body will burn 25 calories converting it into fat. So the 100 calories of protein that you ate too much will actually only be 75 calories of fat. Just keep some of those interesting things in mind. So how much do you need? What do you need? How do you work it out? The research orthodox science will say around about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight if you are a normal person. If you are an elite, ready for this, endurance athlete. And the only way that you become an endurance athlete if you are lifting weights or you're in the gym is if you're going 5 to 7 days a week and you're in the gym for 3 to 4 hours and you're lifting consistently for those 3 to 4 hours. An elite endurance athlete, on the other hand, then is a long-distance bike rider or an Ironman or woman or a marathon runner where they're out on the road for 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. It's been suggested that those people, because they're breaking down muscle tissue, that they might need a little bit more protein than the person that just goes to the gym for 20, 30 minutes a couple of times a week. So just be aware again then, if you are the person that goes to the gym and you eat a lot of protein, it doesn't mean you're going to get big muscles. It just means that you're putting a product into your body that rebuilds your body after you break it down. And that's probably the really important thing to remember, is that it's not protein that makes you stronger or gives you bigger muscles. The only way that your muscles get stronger and grow is if you overload them with really heavy weight and then you let them recover. Now, there's no argument about that. The only way to grow muscles, to get stronger muscles, to get bigger muscles, to have strong muscles and bones for the rest of your life is to overload your muscles, which then pull on your bones, so you get stronger bones and stronger muscles. But that only happens when you're recovering after the workout. When you're in the workout, when you're lifting really heavy, you're breaking down muscle tissue. You're breaking down the cells of your body. And then, of course, they need to be, they need to recover and they need to rebuild. And that's where the protein process comes in. And that's where most people will say, after your workout, you need to eat lots of protein. Interestingly, the orthodox science again will share that you still only need around about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight, even if you're going to the gym and you're breaking down muscle tissue. The really interesting thing is that when you lift heavy things, the energy source is not protein. Your body doesn't break down protein to give you energy to lift heavy things or to sprint really fast or to exercise. When you're sprinting really hard, when you're lifting really heavy, the only energy source that your body can use is glucose for your brain and glycogen for your muscles, and that is actually carbohydrate. So that's something to be really aware of. If you're eating a stack of protein but you don't have any energy to train, you may need to look at how much carbohydrate you're eating, because somebody might have told you can't have, mustn't have, don't have, shouldn't have carbohydrate, and that's why you're having a really tough time trying to exercise at a high intensity or to lift really heavy, because you haven't got enough energy. And remember that if you want to be lean, if you want to be fit, if you want to be strong, you have to sprint. You have to lift really heavy and you have to sprint really hard, and the energy levels, or the energy for that, comes from carbohydrate, glycogen and glucose. So if you don't have enough of those in your body, you'll find it really difficult to exercise. It's a really interesting thing if you watch Bodybuilders will talk about lifting heavy weights, but then they do long, slow distance walking. And often they'll share with you it's because they haven't got any energy to do anything else, to actually get on a treadmill and sprint, or to run up a hill sprinting, or to run up and down some stairs sprinting. They don't have the energy to do that because they consume very little carbohydrate. Even though they're getting a large amount of protein, their body doesn't, or your brain doesn't, and your muscles don't run on protein. So that's all an interesting conversation, because there's other people who tell you that they only eat fat, or they only eat protein, they don't eat any carbohydrate, and they feel fantastic. And that's why those four questions are so important. What do you find best for your body? And regardless of what anybody tells you to do, you have to work it out for yourself. How much do you need to eat? How much carbohydrate do you need? How much protein do you need? How much fat do you need? And do you want to drink alcohol or not? When you work those things out for yourself, you'll be able to say yes to those four questions. Yes, I have a stack of energy all day long. Yes, I'm performing at my top level at everything that I do. Yes, I love what I see in the mirror. I look amazing. And yes, I'm getting the results that I want from my eating and exercise plan. And of course, that's what I wish for everybody. As an exercise professional, and I've been one all of my life, that's all I want for everybody, that you get what you need from your exercise and eating plan. And I can't tell you what to do. A nutritionist can't tell you what to do. A bodybuilder can't tell you what to do. A footy coach or a doctor can't tell you what to do. They might all make suggestions, but interestingly, they often all disagree on those suggestions. So you're the person that's got to work it out for yourself. So how much protein do you need? How about you work it out? How much carbohydrate do you need? You have to work it out. And that's simply by taking in the information that's available to you and then testing and trying it. But can I share again, if you are already feeling fantastic, looking fantastic, and performing at your top level, then maybe you should be the person that's giving out the information, because you're doing really well. Congratulations in advance for being healthy, fit, and strong for the rest of your life. Congratulations if you already are. And most importantly, if you are setting the example or giving out information for other people, please be really aware that the science doesn't agree on any of this. And people are arguing about it all the time. Wouldn't it be nice if food was just eat because you're hungry, eat for performance, eat for pleasure because it's really yummy, and love what you see in the mirror, and love that you're performing at your top level because you're getting the right energy into your body. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Woohoo!